My mistake. Before we do get going, I want to pray real quickly for Frankie and Dave that they continue to get better. Last week we didn't have either one. This week we got both. So praise the Lord. Father, we do pray for Frankie and we pray for Dave. We're grateful, Lord, they're feeling better. Pray they'll continue to heal. And Lord, we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to talk to you about having your life make a difference. I hope you want your life to be a difference maker, not only in your own life, but in others' lives as well. Because believe it or not, that's why you're here. So we're going to start off today reading in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. And if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we read His Word, because the Bible says very clearly, this is the Word of the living God. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death. And so somehow to attain from the resurrection of the dead. Father, as we study Your Word today, show us the importance of knowing You, of being conformed to Your likeness, and of suffering for Your glory. And Father, we'll give You the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are some questions we all have to answer in life. I can remember when I and Mimi first got saved, just about 4 months before that, our oldest son, Shane, was just about a year old. And we were discussing together, what are we going to tell Shane when he starts asking questions? Because most of you that have been parents know about 1.5, 2 years old, they've got a lot of questions. And by the time they're 3, that's all they are, is a question machine. We talked together, this is before we received Christ. We said, what are we going to tell Shane why he's here? Didn't know. How are we going to tell Shane what he's supposed to be doing while he's here? We didn't have any answers. What are we going to tell Shane happens after this life? We know that we're going to have an end, and we didn't know the answer to that either. And then my older sister went to the hospital. It sounds funny, but she went in for an ingrown toenail. And while she was in the hospital, she asked the hospital chaplain, do you know a regular Baptist pastor out in St. Charles that could go see my brother? We lived about just under a mile away from Trinity Baptist Church where we live. And so Pastor Williams came to our house one night, never had met him, didn't know he was coming. And he knocked on the door and he said, folks, I'm here at the request of your sister. She would like me to tell you the good news of the gospel. He said, if you got 5 minutes, I can show you in the Word of God how to get eternal life. And I said, well, we got 5 minutes. Come on in. And he showed us very quickly. He said, why would God let you, Jerry, into heaven? I said, well, I'm trying to be a good person, because at the old Baptist church I went to, that's what they were teaching. If you were a good person, you're going to get eternal life. I mentioned in Sunday school, just because the church has the name Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, they're not all teaching the truth. You've got to check what they say in the Bible. But I said, I'm trying to be a good person. He says, Jerry, I don't want to make you feel bad, but do you know how many good people the Bible says there are? And I said, no, how many? He said, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And I gave a little swallow. I said, oh man, I think maybe I'm in trouble. But he showed me within that 5 minutes, he really did keep his word. Within 5 minutes, he showed me from the Word of God, I was a sinner. And the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. He explained it to him as he went. But God made a way through the death of His only begotten Son, that if we would place our faith in his shed blood to wash away our sins, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we did. And it changed everything in our lives. I want to tell you, God wants your life to make a difference. I've met a lot of people in my ministry years and hospice service and so on. But one thing I've never met is any two people who are exactly alike. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you go out into a blizzard, and when we went down, I had one of my sister's nieces die. We had to go around the bottom of Lake Michigan and come up the other side into Indiana. When you went around that, we hit a blizzard. It was so bad, you literally couldn't see in front of you. As the traffic began to stop, we stopped. I knew there was a car in front of me, so I stopped. But all at once we looked out the left window, here comes a semi that couldn't stop, went right beside our car, about 100 foot above our car before he could finally stop. And as I looked through the right mirror, here comes a pickup truck doing the same thing on the other side of me. We didn't get hit, but we could have. That could have been our last day. But when the blizzard hit, whether you know it or not, there are no two snowflakes that are exactly alike in all the history of mankind. Every snowflake, when they put it under a microscope, is different from every other one. And every person you know, I know some people that are pretty much like somebody else. They even may think pretty much like somebody else. But the more you get them under the microscope of your knowledge of them, you'll find out they're not exactly alike. So why did God make everybody different? It's because he wants your life to make a difference. He's given you skills and abilities that nobody else may have in certain areas. That's why the Lord says, when the body, the church, regardless of the name on the door, when the church comes together, as every part does its work, in other words, I don't have all the gifts of the Spirit. I don't. And nobody I know does. But with the body comes together and everybody brings their giftedness to the other giftedness, we all grow. And so God wants your life to make a difference. Do you want your life to make a difference? If you do, I'm going to talk to you today about three things that can make your life make a difference, not only in your life, but other lives as well. Our Lord wants you to make a difference. I read a story about an Uber driver, and the Uber driver, it was his first day of work. He got into the Uber thing, and he picked up his first customer, and they were driving along, and all at once, the customer behind him reached up and tapped him on the shoulder. And all he said was, "Excuse me, sir." The Uber driver lost control. He screamed out in fear, ran off the road, almost ran right into the front of a store building. And he said, "I'm so sorry." And the man behind him said, "Boy, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. All I said was, 'Excuse me, sir.'" And the Uber driver said, "No, it's not your fault. It's my fault." He said, "This is my first day of being an Uber driver. And for 25 years, I've driven a hearse." And so if you can think for 25 years driving a hearse and somebody tapping you on the shoulder, things happen, but things happen for a reason. And the Lord wants you to know that you are made special for a reason. God has works he wants you to do that maybe nobody else can ever do. Do you understand you have family that I'm never going to meet? I'll never touch them, but you can. You have family members that look to you for guidance of what is true, Grandpa. Grandma, what am I supposed to be doing here? Folks, you can make a difference. And so we have to know two things in order to make a real difference. To make a real difference, you have to know somebody. Knowing someone sometimes is more important than the giftedness you have. You have to know, and you have to know what's true. Our God has given us both gifts. You can know him who is life. And he'll teach you in his word what is true. I don't know if you understand this or not, but we live in a world of liars. You turn on the news, and I don't care which channel you turn on, you're going to hear things that are not true. How do you determine what is truth? Do you have any person you can go to say, is this true or not? I know you can go on your computer and you can say, do a fact check or whatever, but even those are messed up sometimes. We have a source of truth in the Word of God that is unfailing. Kids, I'll just tell you, when your school's teaching you, you evolve from a lower animal. That's exactly contrary to the Word of God. When your school tells you you can be a boy or a girl, you can change from a girl to a boy this week, and next week you can change back, the Bible says that's not true. The Bible warns against science falsely so called. When you're reading history, you better check with some older books because they are deliberately changing the history of our nation. You have to help, with the help, hopefully, of your parents and grandparents, can discover the truth. If your life is really going to make a huge difference in this world, there's somebody you need to know. You will not impact this world if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the way God wants you to impact this world. There are some people that do not know Jesus Christ, and they have impacted this world, but in a very negative way. If you want to make a difference with your life, you've got to come to the Lord in knowledge, not just know about Him. A lot of people know about Him, but they don't know Him. Jesus said on the last day, He said, many are going to come to me and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that in your name? And what's He going to say? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That word know is part of the family. It's not in your notes, but 1 John 1:12 tells you how to become part of God's family. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become sons and daughters of God. You have to receive Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul is the man we're going to be talking about today, whose life maybe impacted our world more than any other man that's ever lived other than our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, looking back on his life and the people that he had met and all of his growth in leadership, all of his wealth that he accumulated, he looked at it all and he said, it's all garbage. It's all worthless unless you know Jesus Christ. Because how much are you going to leave when you leave this world? You are going to leave it all. You're not taking anything with you. And so all your material possessions, your cars, your houses, your boats, your planes, whatever you got, it's all garbage if you don't have Christ. Because 70 years from now, there might be a few people here might be alive in 70 years, but most of us, I'll guarantee you, I'm not going to be here in 70 years. So all my house, who's going to have that house? Another 70 years, who knows who's going to live there? The car that I had, where's it going to wind up? And I don't care if I had a Lamborghini in 70 years, where's it at? It's in the junkyard. It's compacted into another car. Everything. And that's what Paul says. Paul was a Pharisee. He said, I was getting ahead in my religion. I was one of the top dogs. I was a big shot. I had plenty of money. And then he writes this in Philippians 3, verse 7. He says, whatever gains to me, and most of us would say our house is a gain. And financially it is. It's a big investment, but it's an investment that grows. You buy a car, you drive off the lot, you just lost 30% of the cost of that car. You buy a house, and that house is going to accumulate wealth. So it's a good thing on the earth. But he says, what were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage, and we're going to talk about that word garbage in a minute, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in his death. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here, compared to knowing Christ as his Savior, everything else to him is garbage. Now, it's not saying he's thrown away his house if he had a house. It's not saying he's throwing away his marriage. It's not saying he's throwing away his chariot if he had one. He probably didn't. But he's not getting rid of it. But compared to the exciting fact of knowing Christ, that word lost is used only other one place in the whole New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote that, but the Apostle Paul earlier in his ministry had suffered the loss of everything on a ship. They were transporting him from where he was near Israel over to Rome to stand trial. And on the way, a huge storm broke out, and in order to save their lives, the seamen threw everything on that boat overboard. It was all lost to save life. And that's what Paul's saying. He took everything that he thought was important in his life and said it's garbage. So how about you? How about your list? What do you consider garbage for the sake of knowing Christ? What to you has become worthless that used to be your primary treasure? When I was a young buck, about 17, 16, 17, 18, everything was about the car. Man, the car. That was freedom. That was prestige. That was important. And now, cars don't mean a thing to me. I drive old cars. I fix them up, and I drive them until they die. Because why would you throw away money on something that can't last? I'd rather use my money for the Lord. Things that used to be huge. Business awards. Your education, all the things that people say are so important. If you don't have Christ, you know what it's going to be worth when your time on this earth is done? It's going to be worth absolutely nothing. Anybody know today how many doctor's degrees Thomas Edison had? Anybody care? No. That's just less than 100 years ago. People don't care. And if you don't know Christ, no matter how hard you work, no matter how much you accumulate, no matter if you're a multi-billionaire, nobody's going to care. It doesn't matter. That's what Paul came to here. He said, without Christ, all of the things that I've done are going to add up to a great big zero. It doesn't matter what you accumulate. You leave it all. One of my favorite authors is C.S. Lewis, and he said this, he who has Christ in everything else has no more than he who has Christ alone. Everything is nothing without Christ. I hope you understand that. We have a missionary that comes here on every Tuesday, prays with us for revival prayer. He's a minister to Haiti. He says the people there, the Christians there, are so poor, the richest have a tin shack. They don't know what's for dinner tomorrow, but they are the happiest Christians he's met anywhere in the world. Folks, you don't have to have a lot to have a lot in Christ. In fact, Paul said everything ever conceived, ever achieved, ever received in life was garbage. And the word that he used, we translate it garbage, and it's a nice little word, but that's not what the original word meant. The original word meant excrement, bodily excrement. We would call it poop. You can call it whatever you want. But what he's saying is everything without Christ is absolute yuck. You wouldn't want to touch it. You wouldn't want to be near it because it's all going to burn up. Doesn't matter what you got. It's all going to be garbage. Folks, with Christ, everything you have that's used for his glory is going to get an eternal reward. People think it's so hard to earn an eternal reward. It's easy. Jesus said if you give a cup of cold water in his name, you'll never lose your reward. So it's easy to get eternal rewards. But the word know does not refer to intellectual knowledge. I want to know Christ. It's not just intellectually knowing about Christ. A lot of people know about Christ. I knew about Christ before I was ever saved at the age of 25. I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ at the age of 12, but I didn't know Christ. He wasn't my Lord and my Savior. I knew that he had died on the cross, but at 12 years old, even at 25, I couldn't figure out, what good is a man's death for me? What good is it if a man lived and he died on a cross, so what? But when I learned that that man was God who created me, who took on flesh, born of a virgin, and God died for me, that made a difference. And that's when I received Christ. It made all the difference in my life. If you're going to know Jesus Christ in a deep way, your life is going to make a difference on this world. People are going to come to faith through your ministry. People are going to know how to walk with God through your ministry. People are going to know the truth through your ministry. Everybody thinks the pastor and the deacons are the only ministers, maybe the Sunday school teacher, and maybe the people that lead the singing. You know that God says every one of his disciples is to be a teacher? You are to teach others. You're to share the good news. If your life is going to make a difference, you need to know Christ. The second thing the Apostle Paul said, I want to know his power. There are many Christians that really have received Christ, but they know almost nothing about the power of Christ to change their lives or anybody else's life. Folks, you have a supernatural power that when you receive Jesus Christ, that your life can make a huge impact if you'll just take advantage of what's offered. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So knowing Christ is the primary thing. That's super important. If you don't know Christ, you'll never get the power of resurrection. You'll never get it. And you'll never share in his suffering. But knowing Christ is a foundation. And now we want to know the power. What kind of power is available to a Christian? Simply the greatest power life has ever known. Anybody can take a life. If I wanted to, if I had a pistol, and I don't have a pistol, but if I did, I could aim at any one of you and take you out. But I don't have the power of resurrection. I can't give life. The greatest scientists that have ever lived. When I was a teenager in high school, they said pretty soon, scientists are going to make life. They're going to have non-life. They're going to add electricity to it. They're going to put the water in and whatever they need, and they're going to create life. That's been 50, almost 60 years ago. Guess what? Scientists haven't made life. You can't make life. Life only comes from life. And without God, there'd be no life. And what Paul is saying here is, I want to know the power of the resurrection. And you say, what in the world is he talking about? What he's talking about is God has made his power available to every single Christian. You can make a difference. You can have resurrection power in your own life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not in the notes. But it says, if any man or woman is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is passing away. Everything's becoming new. Folks, that's resurrection life. The things that I used to love, sin, I hate now. And the things I used to dread, like coming to church, we went twice a year, and we gave a buck each time. I mean, that was a lot of money back then. That was it. Christmas and Easter. We were Christmas and Easter Christians. He changed me. I couldn't wait to get into church. I worked in the shop, and I couldn't wait for Wednesday night to come so I could get recharged with resurrection life. I lived among people that were doing all kinds of things, and I needed resurrection power. Folks, it's available to anyone that wants it. Philippians 4:13. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to about receiving Christ that refuse to do it, knowing that it's true in their heart. They know it's true. They know they should, but they'll say, I can't receive Christ because I could never live up to what he expects. Folks, nobody can on their own. But Paul said, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Do you understand the power that a Christian has to stop whatever sin they're into? Is resurrection power. to be able to say no to ungodliness and worldly lust. That's resurrection power. And it's available to every single Christian. I have people tell me, I just can't stop pornography. I just can't. No, you can't. But in Christ, you can. It's resurrection. You've got a new life inside of you now. And if you're not experiencing that, you need to go back to step one. Do you know Christ? Because if you don't, if you just know about Him, and you have never received Him, you can't possibly get resurrection power. But it's Christ living in me. He's doing the work. He's changing the heart. In Matthew 5:14, our Lord says, you, talking to the church, the Christians, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you understand the light you have in you is Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead? And He's the light in you. And when you let Christ come through you, you're the light to your whole house. Your neighbors, your friends are going to see Christ living in you. They're going to say, that's resurrection power. Because nobody can live that life on their own. And it's true. I see so many people faking Christianity, trying to live it, but they all fail miserably. Because if it isn't Christ living in you, you can't do it. But you can do it through Christ. Let's be practical. You do not have control of your thoughts unless you're in Christ. You do not have control of your body unless you are in Jesus Christ. He'll give you resurrection power. It's an amazing thing. You do have the power to tell the world no if you're in Christ. And I want to tell you, that takes a lot of guts. You're going to suffer for your faith, and we're going to talk about that next. But you'll have the power to say no. As for me and my family, we're not going that way. I'm going to stand with Christ. He's my Lord, you're not, and they are not. Christ is, and I'm walking with Him. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus is speaking again. He says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and reveal them to little children. Yes, Father, and this was your will you were pleased to do. Our Lord wants you to know if He's called you to do something, nothing can hinder you. It's an amazing thing. Miracles still do happen today. I don't believe in faith healers, but I believe the Lord heals. I don't believe in snake handlers, but I believe if the Lord's called you to do something, you can do it regardless of snakes, dogs, whatever. We go calling and there's some pretty big dogs we see. If it's the Lord's will I get bit, I'll get bit. But the Lord protects us. It's an amazing thing. So, number one, if your life is really going to make an impact on this world, you need to know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Number two, if your life is going to make a huge impact on this world, you need to have resurrection power. And that only comes with walking daily with our Lord. It's super important. And then the last one, this one's going to scare you a little bit, but don't be scared. The Lord will take care of you. Paul said, I want to know His suffering. Let's look again at Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection. And now the last one. And participation in His suffering. Becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul said he wanted to share in Christ's suffering. Anybody here real crazy about suffering? I don't like it. I would just as soon avoid it. But suffering is the greatest teacher you'll ever have. If you want to become like your Lord, it doesn't happen on the mountainside. It happens in the valleys where life gets real and the cost has to be paid. I forget who it was said this, but he said, a faith that cost me nothing is worth nothing. David said, I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God an offering that cost me nothing. Folks, I see so many Christians trying to walk through this life, but they don't want to pay a price. They don't want to suffer. I'm really glad I got fire insurance. I'm glad the Lord saved me. But you talk about a resurrection life, not too crazy about that. But you get to talking about suffering, and most Christians say, whoa. You just went too far. What is the popular theology today? You trust Christ, everything's going to be great. This is going to be your best life. You're going to have everything you ever wanted. The Lord loves you so much, He'll give you everything. What's the gospel say? You trust Jesus Christ, this world's going to hate you. You're going to suffer if you're going to be faithful. There's a difference. I don't want to be popular. I want to be according to the Bible. Folks, so many popular preachers are going the wrong direction. They're leading people astray. If you are really going to live for Christ, don't think for a minute it's not going to cost you, because it is. 2 Timothy 3:10. This is the Apostle Paul, the one we're talking about. Oops, wait a minute, I skipped a verse. Romans 8:28, I'm sorry. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God's will is to transform you and me to Christ's likeness. He can do that through all the good things that happen in life. It's wonderful when it's good. But He can do it even more effectively through the things that hurt, the things that cause us pain, the things that make us wonder, what is the use of walking with God if He's going to allow this in my life? I thought You loved me, Lord, because life hurts. God will give you just the ingredients you need, it's different for all of us, to make you like His Son. Because His Son is perfection. Sadly, we're not. We all need lots of work here. In Hebrews 5:8, do we have that one, Joel? Pardon me? Yeah, let me read Hebrews 5:8 real quick. You got it? Okay. Good, sorry. Son though he was, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Folks, if our Lord Jesus Christ had to learn obedience through suffering, how do you think you're going to learn obedience? It's through what you suffer. If you take a sailor and he's out sailing and all he has is fair weather, how good of a sailor is he going to be? He'll get you through on a good day. But if you hit a huge storm and all that sailor's ever seen is smooth seas, he's not going to get you through a storm. You want a seasoned sailor when you're out on a ship in a storm. The Lord wants you to be a seasoned sailor in life. When you go through that storm and you stand faithful for your Lord, people are watching you. It's easy to be faithful and everything's going good. Oh, Grandpa really enjoys life. Yeah, everything's fun. But when your grandkids see you going through a very difficult time, your wife or your husband has just died, you've lost your health, and they say, Grandpa, still. It's amazing. He loves the Lord. He's praising the Lord. And I know he's sick. His heart is broken over something. That's when your life makes a difference. Everybody can be happy when everything's going great, but resurrection life, life that's wrapped up in eternity and in Christ, when things go wrong, we can still be happy. We can still praise our God. Is it easy? No. That's why you need resurrection life. You can't do this on your own. This isn't something you fake. This is reality. Because we have an eternal hope. Yes, one of these days, either I or Mimi is going to die. We understand that. But that's not the end. If it was the end, I'd grieve and, oh, life is done. No. We may have 5 or 10 years apart, but we're going to be together forever. Same with my dad and mom when they died. I had a living hope. For my mother, I don't know about my dad. He never made a profession, but my mother did. I baptized her, and so I was rejoicing. In 2 Timothy 3:10 again, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance. Persecutions, that's the part that Christians don't want any part of. Persecution, suffering. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Why? Because Jesus said, if they loved me, they're going to love you. But if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Do you understand when you tell your boss he wants you to work Sunday? And you say, I don't want to work Sunday, I want to go to church. Is he going to be real happy with you? It costs something. I'm not saying don't work Sundays at all. I understand every once in a while you have to. I understand that. But if you're really going to live for God, you have to give his word and his church priority. It has to be more important than some things in life. So many people don't want their faith to cost anything. Philippians 1:29, this is one of those verses that a lot of people just do not understand because they don't want to understand it. Yeah, don't have Philippians 1:29? Okay, let me look that one up. We'll get her. Very important verse. I may have added that myself. Sometimes I do that, and then I forget to call Dave. Okay. Oops. Sorry, guys. Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you're going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. That idea of you suffering for Christ, he says it's been granted to you. This is a gift from God. Why? Because if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. No suffering, no reigning. I hope you understand that. If you're going to live a godly life, it's going to cost you. It doesn't come free. It didn't come free for Christ. It's not going to come free for you. The Lord wants you to be an example of him. Both are necessary to really grow in resurrection life. Suffering is an important part of life. It's one of the greatest teachers you'll ever have. Yes, suffering is not fun. But suffering has a purpose. In Philippians 3:10 again, this is Paul's message. Paul made a huge difference in this world. His effect is still going on. When you read through the New Testament, 13 of those 27 books were written by this man. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or already have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal. To win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. The sad truth is, many people grow in their Christian life to a certain point, and then they begin to go backwards. What the Lord is saying here is, don't give up. Keep on growing. There's more. There's more suffering, but there's also more resurrection power. Both go together. I just want to ask you in closing, number one, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, today can be a great day for you. Knowing Christ is simply receiving Him as your Lord and your Savior. It happens in the heart, not in the head. It's when you really confess with all your heart, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I believe with all my heart Jesus Christ shed His blood on that cross to pay for my sin. And today, Lord, I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And if you mean that with all your heart, you become a son or daughter of God. You're going to live eternally with Him. Number two, are you living in resurrection power? Can people see Christ in you? Are you different than you used to be? Before I got saved, you might not know this, but every other word was a swear word. In my life, I grew up in a home where swearing was prevalent everywhere, and I just grew up that way. The day I received Christ, that changed. If you don't have any change in your life after receiving Christ, guess what? You didn't receive Christ. Because when you receive Christ, you become a new creature. Things that I used to love doing became an abhorrence to me. The Lord changed the heart and the mind in His resurrection power. I don't do miracles. I don't raise the dead. But the Lord sure raised me. And He'll raise you too if you'll let Him. And then the last one. Are you willing to suffer for Christ's glory? Because that's an important one. You'll never reach maturity in Christ if you're unwilling to suffer. Your faith is going to cost you. Salvation's free. It's all by faith. But walking with Christ, living in resurrection power, always comes at a cost. You have to determine, how far are you willing to go? The Apostle Paul went all the way to his death. Yes, the Lord rescued him from snakes. The Lord rescued him from in the sea. But there came a point when God was done with Paul. And the Apostle Paul died with having his head cut off. So what? He's going to die anyhow, right? It might be a year later, it might have been 5 years later or 10. But what difference does that make? If you fulfilled your calling and God's ready to take you home, you ought to rejoice. Because every day of our life, although on this earth it's wonderful, I love my life, every day there's suffering, there's disagreements, there's arguments. One day soon, that's all going to be behind me. I'm a pilgrim passing through this life. St. Charles, although I love my little town, that's not my home. Heaven's my home. I'm a pilgrim on mission here for a while. And I'm going to be gone. I hope you're going to go the same place I am. Father, we rejoice in your word. Lord, none of us rejoice greatly about the suffering part. But it is a part of your plan for every single Christian. Father, if we have that resurrection power, we'll be able to rejoice. I think of Paul and Silas as they were whipped for their faith in the stocks, singing praises to you with the blood running down their back. Father, give us that resurrection power, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' holy name, amen.